Good evening, everyone. Oh, and for the record, my beautiful wife back there has nothing to do with the mayor. She just started working, like, at the end of it. So she has nothing to do with any of that. We use cash only ever since Sheila Dixon's nonsense. So, anyways, just wanted to get that straightened out. So, I'm Christina, and I am a Lyft driver, and I call this Lyft Confessions. So, this whole process started back in November. I want to say around Thanksgiving, my best friend ordered me a Lyft. I also work for Spirit Cruises, the cruise ship at the Inner Harbor. So we were getting off like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and she ordered me a Lyft, and I was nervous as hell. I didn't know this man. I didn't know where he had came from. I didn't know if he was going to take me up into the mountains, cut my head off. I didn't know what to expect. So I got in the car, and he told me, he said, it's okay. I'm not going to do anything to you. They track us. So, which was great. So after that, you know, I got the courage to ask him questions about how do I go about becoming a Lyft driver? Is it worth, you know, the money? Are there any, like, scary criminal incidents that go on? So I want to say about around January, I said, what the heck? I went online. I filled out the application. They did a background check on me. They called me 2 weeks later and was like, you know, come on down to Route 40 at Pet Boys, Hertz rental car service. So I went down there the next day. They introduced me to the team and gave me an orientation for about 15 minutes and then took me outside, showed me the do's and don'ts and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And before I knew it, like 20, 25 minutes later, I was on the road. It took me every bit of 2 to 3 hours to actually turn on my Lyft app. I decided that I was going to turn it on. I turned it on. I got my first Lyft ride. It actually was weird because it wasn't a person. It was a package. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, what do you want me to do with this package? And she's like, oh, take it out to Lock Raven Boulevard. So I'm driving on the freeway, and I'm like, okay, is there a bomb in this package? Are there drugs in this package? Is there a finger? Is this with the mafia? So I finally get out there. I drop the package off, and that was it was great. I cut it off because I was still nervous. I said, I'm just going to do this some days later. So this next story is a very messy one. So I remember this was like the end of January. I went to pick a young lady up in Pikesville. And I remember this is when we had the snowstorm. So she came out to the car, and I remember she had a cup of orange juice and a slice of pizza. So she got in, I spoke to her, and she was like, you don't mind if I eat in your car? And I was like, no, it's okay. And so, you know, we get on the road. I see that it's going to take about 30 to 40 minutes to get her to Nursery Road. So I told her, you know, just sit back, relax. I put on some music, and I hear somebody whisper, Christina, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Not thinking what she's about to ask me. So she's just like, have you ever been in love? And I'm like, yeah, I'm actually in love right now. And so she was like, well, have you ever in the past been with someone and you knew they weren't good for your soul and they just stressed you out and it just caused so much pain? And so once again, I was like, no. I've been with my wife ever since I was 18. I'm about to be 35 now. So I wouldn't know anything about that. But go ahead. Tell me your story. And so she said, well, the reason why I asked, she said, because I'm really thinking really hard about killing my boyfriend. So keep in mind, it's snowing, so I kind of swerve a little bit. So I'm trying to keep my composure because I'm like, I don't want this lady to know that I'm nervous because she might take a shoestring of hers and choke me to death and take the car and go kill her boyfriend. So I said, are you sure that's what you want to do? And then I asked her, I said, where are we heading, by the way? And she was like, oh, no, 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 I'm going to work. I was thinking about doing this weekend. And I'm like, so you have it all planned out. Like, you're off on the weekend. You have it all mapped out. And so she was like, well, what advice would you give? And so I told her, I was like, look, honey, there's no man on this earth. I don't care if it's a donkey, a monkey. I don't care. Nothing on this earth is worth you losing your cool over. And so she was like, yeah, I've been thinking about that. So, you know, we were going on and on. So when we finally got to her destination, you know, I said, I really hope and pray to God that I don't see you on Fox 45 this weekend. Because they're going to investigate and they're going to trace back that you were in my Lyft car. And I just don't want to have anything to do with this. So, you know, she was laughing. And then I told her, I said, you know, and if it doesn't work out, you know, with the next man, you can always go down to Flavors where me and my wife go and get you a nice little girlfriend, you know, become a lesbian, you know, it's whatever you want to do. You know, I'm trying to help her out here. So she gets out the car and she thanks me and she's like, you know, you really, you know, changed my way of thinking. She said, my mind was just so fixed on stabbing this man to death. Like, she had it fixed in her mind, like, okay, I'm going to map it out. I'm going to do it this weekend. Like, she had it all mapped out. So the next incident I had was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I went to pick a elderly lady up from University of Maryland. And when you're homeless and you have to leave the hospital, the doctors and the nurses will call a lift for you. So they called me. I came to pick her up. I'm thinking that I'm actually taking her somewhere. Now, it was cold. This is February. It's freezing outside. And so I'm like, where actually are you going? And she was like, I don't know. I said, so when you get out the car, where are you going from here? And she's like, I guess I will have to sleep outside. She said, I wasn't feeling good, so I went to the hospital. So I called my wife because my wife works for the mayor's office for the homeless outreach program. And I let her talk to my wife, and my wife told me to take her to a certain area where the staff, which they don't even come out that late. So she woke one of her staff members up, said it was an emergency. You know, she came and she picked her up. And then the very next day, she was able to have her come down to her office and help her get into a detox program because she was stating how she was on drugs and she didn't know how about go about doing it. And so now my wife is actually her caseworker. So I actually get to keep up with how she's doing. She's doing really good. And all of that is to say, you never know what people are going through, and I'm one of them because I have severe PTSD. And if it was not for my wife, I would not have gone to therapy and get the help that I needed. I was embarrassed. I didn't know what was wrong with me. So when I first started this job, I only did it part-time because it was the, you know, cold season. Nobody goes on cruises. So I was just doing this for side money. But as the days went on and the months went on, I started to say to myself, this job must be for me to take my full-time job and make it my part-time job to where now I do lift 5 times a day. And my first job, 2 times. So when I go out, I always look forward to talking to people and not judging them. People don't always want advice. They just want to be able to let it out, even if it's a 15-minute ride. And it feels good because, once again, I have a mental illness. And sometimes I've met so many passengers that have actually been on their way to try to commit suicide. Just any little thing. And there's times where I will pull over and I will turn off my app, miss money, just to talk to these passengers. I have some passengers that are drunk and all they want to say is, I love you and thank you for talking to me. You made me feel so much better. And it makes me feel really good. And I feel like being a Lyft driver is not just for the money, but it's to help people. Because I know between 10 and 16 rides that I do a day, I know at least 2 or 3 of those passengers take what I say and try to make a change. So if you can, when you see people and they're always smiling and happy, and there's a, sometimes there's a wall and it's fake. And sometimes just a, how are you? How's life? Is there anything that you want to talk about? Just take the time out, even if it's for like 7 minutes. It will definitely change your life. And that's my story.